Hey guys, you're listening to the Anti-Marketing Podcast. Today I have Val with me co-hosting.
Hello again.
And Stephanie from the Pink Dinghy.
Hello.
So for those that don't know or listened, the Pink Dinghy is in the Vibe District in Virginia Beach. And I'm going to let Stephanie tell us about it.
So the Pink Dinghy is a restaurant. That's yes. Our new first things first. Motto. The Pink Dinghy is a restaurant.
I like it.
When we first started originally, which I'm sure we'll get to, we were Latin American focused, but I really don't feel like labels are necessary for restaurants. Mm-hmm. I think they're only created to make customers feel comfortable. So if you know you like Latin American food, you're going to go somewhere. If you know that you like Japanese food, you're going to go there. But what we do is we make food we want to eat. So
that's
cool. Varies from day to day. So our new motto is the Pink Dinghy is a restaurant.
I love it.
I love it. Really love it because it's so funny. I was talking to somebody the other day and I was trying to figure out like where to go out to eat or like what to do. I was like, well, what do you feel like? And you're right. Like the first thing we say is, I feel like Mexican.
Exactly.
And you're like, well, but like why?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just want to eat what I want to eat.
Exactly. Like yeah. So, and I want to make what I want to eat.
Yeah.
So the Pink Dinghy is a restaurant and market and natural wine bar. Right.
Yeah. All of the above.
I'm like intrigued by the natural wine bar. I'm like,
we have some great wine.
It's 11 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, that sounds great.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me how it started. Like, tell me what got in your brain that you were like, hey, let me make a Latin American restaurant that's a restaurant.
Yes. So when I moved back to this area from New York, I opened a donut shop in Selden Market called Dominion. And
that's awesome.
I was so bored because you have this rush of morning customers and then I have the rest of my afternoon to do nothing. So I'm all about that hustle life, which I'm trying to be less about in my 30s. But I decided, let's start doing pop-ups. So we did a chicken sandwich pop-up. And then my husband and I had really been craving Dominican food because he's Dominican and we lived in New York and it was on every street corner. Right. So we consumed a lot of it. And that was something that we felt was missing from this area. So we decided to start a Dominican pop-up. And our first one ever was at Bottlecraft.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Chase had been watching my Instagram stories, and he reached out to me, and he was like, you have to do this at Bottlecraft because I need to eat that. And it was such a fun night. We sold out, and then post-shift, Chase and I are smoking a cigarette out the back door, and he was like, what do you think about turning this into a restaurant? And I hadn't thought about that at all. I was just having fun, and he was like, well, I think I've got that pink building. And I was like, the one next to Three Ships? And he was like, yeah, that one. And I was sold from that moment on. So, location is everything.
Yeah, you guys have
when you start a business.
Yeah. Kind of beautiful location.
So I thought, okay, we've got a great location. We can build upon that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was how it started. That was February 2018.
Isn't that crazy, like, when you think about it, though, that you're like, man, I just, like, miss Dominican food in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you're like, I just, like, make some food for a brewery.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, oh, now you own this
and
restaurant.
And now we have this restaurant.
Yeah.
And it was funny because that was one of the, maybe, like, the second or third time I'd seen Chase since high school.
Right.
That's crazy.
How
do you, like, go through that, like, I'm going to start a business with somebody that I've seen three times since high school? How does your brain work in that capacity?
I'm an Aries, so I'm impulsive.
Okay.
He was Taurus, also impulsive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, I think both of us knew that each other had the drive and the gusto to make it happen. So,
like, when you know, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
What if it was a thing that was missing already and a thing that did well and a thing that already had, you know, that's all you need.
Yeah, like, why not?
Yeah.
It, like, turns into a why not. Like, why don't we just, like, jump
into it? Totally, yeah. And after that pop-up, you know, we started meeting regularly, weekly, to discuss more, and it just felt completely organic and natural. And we were both so excited to work together.
That's awesome. So tell me about, like, the process of opening that space. Like, because I know more than I should.
It's been a little crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, we first decided in, like, February, March 2018. We got the keys in September because it was an apartment or a duplex before that.
I was wondering what it was before.
So that's why there's two doors. Gotcha. So two apartments. And then it was functioning as an Airbnb that summer. Okay. So we got the keys that fall. We demoed it. There was a wall down the middle. We tore it down, put a beam up, and then just started construction. We were held up by the city for quite a bit due to permits.
I was going to say you had to go from residential to, like,
zoning, and then just some red tape with the parking lot wasn't paved, and they wanted it to have handicap spaces, and so they kind of made an example out of us because of that. Yeah, so our parking permit, or our building permit, was held up for, I want to say, like, 4 to 5 months because of that.
What?
Mm-hmm. Which is fun.
Yeah. And then in April 2019, that's when the lady drove through the back of the building. So we had just finished an addition, which was going to be our storage room, dry storage. And Chase had just left, I think, by 30 minutes. And she thought she was in reverse. She floored it and flew over the railroad tie and just demolished the back of the building. So we found the Hyundai Elantra emblem in the middle of the restaurant, and we hung it above the door like you would a horse.
As you should, yeah.
Awesome.
Like, as you should.
You're like, this will be ours forever.
Exactly. Yeah. So people are often like, why is there a Hyundai emblem up there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's part of the story.
Exactly.
Because you have to take the pieces of the stuff that sucks.
Yes.
And carry it with you.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So how far back then did that push you guys?
That pushed us back a few months. And then we got that rebuilt, and we hired, pretty much everything else had been done. It was a lot of DIY, which, like, the dinghy's very cute, but she's a little rusted. That's Chase's handiwork. So we hired a hood guy to install our hood. And he took the $10,000 down payment and dipped.
Oh,
what?
Neat. Mm-hmm. Neat. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was in September 2019. We were supposed to open November 2019. And then every time we'd reach out to him, he was sick or he was coming next week. And he kind of kept us on the line. And we were on such a shoestring budget that So we just kept holding out hope that he was going to come and complete the job and we wouldn't be out all this money. So he never came. And by Christmas 2019, he was just like, I'm not coming.
Oh, good.
And we were like, okay, cool. Back to the drawing board. Yeah. We need more money.
Oh, my God.
And then, you know, we begged our parents and gotta love them, came through. And in March 2020, I think it was like March 12th, we met with our former sous chef and we were like, dude, we're ready to open. We're going to open April 4th. And then we were kind of like, what's up with this coronavirus stuff? Like, this is strange. Is this a thing? Is this really going to, like, take over VB? And that was a Wednesday. By Friday, everything had shut down. So
you're like, cool.
Good timing.
Yeah. So we called coronavirus the final boss. Game. Yeah. So if we could beat the final boss, we would win the game, a.k.a. open the restaurant.
Yeah.
So we pretty much just hung out in April, did some fine-tuning of decor, And then in May, we were getting really antsy, and Chasey reached out to the health department, and they were saying, we're closed, we're not conducting any inspections. And so Matthew Corfridge from The Pilot wrote an article about everything we'd gone through and mentioned that we weren't able to get in health inspection, and they literally called us the next day.
That's awesome. So I read
that. That's awesome.
I know your story is that article.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was so helpful. I mean, they were out the next week to do our inspection.
That's awesome.
And then we were able to open the week after that.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
So shout out to Matthew.
I was gonna say, one win in there.
Yes. Yeah. And we opened June 5th, 2020.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And you're always packed.
For the most part, I mean, I was just texting my management staff before I came here. We did 866 covers last week.
That's crazy.
Which for an 800 square foot restaurant feels
huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. It's like for those that like don't know the restaurant world, like that's like a giant restaurant.
Yeah,
situation.
Exactly.
That is busy.
Like a Eurasia does like 300 covers on a busy night. So they have actual tables inside the restaurant where we have two.
Uh-huh.
So it's great. And I could definitely feel that because I worked the line every day last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That short staff crisis is real.
Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just like a whole another thing now.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like another way to have like a new boss.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not being short-staffed, it's the supply chain is broken, and I haven't been able to get chicken breasts for the past 2 weeks because they're up 100% in cost, or they're sold out.
Yeah.
You can't.
So
it's not worth it.
It's not. I mean, I would rather not offer chicken than pay $100 a case, and profit margins are already so low in restaurants. For me to make, like, a dollar or two off a sandwich is not worth it
right,
to me.
Right, why? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I went to a restaurant, like, me and my family went out of town, like, a few weeks ago. We went to a restaurant, and they had a sign out front that said, hey, sorry, the menu's wrong. If you get chicken anything, add $3 to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Chris was like, I don't get it. And I was like, I do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like,
it just is what it is right now.
It is.
They have to do that, or they have to do what you do, and you're just like, we don't have chicken on the menu right now.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that I'm not offering, even though I want to. Even pork is up 48% right now. You know, for us to get in strip loin, it's $300. The average consumer doesn't realize how much this is. And also, you have to factor in, the way that I operate my business is an LLC, I do not take profits at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. I pay myself a modest salary, and I don't take from the business. Like, and anything the dinghy makes is flushed right back into it because I would rather pay my staff more money so that they can live a great life than take $10,000 at the end of the year. That's not important to me. I make a salary.
That's what people don't understand about restaurants or LLCs or, like, any business at all. They're like, oh, well, you know, you just make all this money. If you sell 800 covers in a week, you're like rolling in the dough. And you're like, no, dude, like I float that to my staff.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like I pay a cleaning crew to come in on Sundays so that my staff can maybe save 2 hours a week of their life that they could be spending with their families.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff is more important. And so the bills add up. So when people complain about prices, you have to realize my cooks are making $14, $15 an hour. My dishwasher is making $12, $13 an hour. I'm not paying anyone minimum wage in my restaurant. Even my servers, you know, I think the server pay is like $2.33.
Right.
My servers start at $5.
Right.
I'm not paying them minimum wage. I'd rather them be happy and make this a full-time job, so that they're not having to keep three different jobs.
Well, and you don't want people to, like, dread coming into work.
No.
Yeah.
It's, like, so much easier. Like, the people that dread coming to work, I think 75% of the time, are the people who feel underappreciated.
And exactly.
So, like, when your staff knows, like, hey, it's just me.
Yeah.
I'm doing everything I can to give you everything you need. Mm-hmm. You're going to have, like, their support and their love and, like, yeah, you're going to have bad days, but, like, the right staff is going to understand.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I can definitely attest to that with my staff. They're like, we know you're spread thin, girl. Here's some grace.
Yeah. That's what my team does that all the time, too. They, like, get mad at me. They're like, yo, when's the last time you took a day off?
Yeah.
I went camping a few weeks ago. They're like, that doesn't count. You're in the woods. Like, when's the last time you, like, went and did something? And I'm like, a couple months ago.
Exactly.
Like, turn off your phone. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And I feel like when your staff feels appreciated, they have that respect for you and your personal time, too.
Yeah.
Like, I was there closing. I did a double the other day, and my cooks were like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah. And they're like, we don't want your help cleaning. Leave.
Right, like, you've been here all day.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
You can go home to your family, go live your life.
Yeah.
What would you attribute how successful you've been? Like, when you're talking about 800, I work with a lot of restaurants and I talk to a lot of restaurants and I know how big of a number that is.
Mm-hmm.
The people love you and that is special.
Mm-hmm. I feel the love. We love them too. I think, you know, the dinghy is a vibe.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
It's in the vibe and it's a vibe. It's a fun place and it kind of is a different vibe for different people. So some folks come and they want to have a nice serious dinner and they can. Some people just want to come have a great cocktail and hang out and they can.
Yeah.
Somebody took a pregnancy test in our bathroom the other day.
Yeah.
And you can.
Yeah.
Like, you come to us, we will take care of you.
Here for you.
Awesome. I love that people feel safe and comfortable enough to do personal things.
That's really cool. Uh-huh. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. That made me laugh.
Yeah, we were really stoked about that. I thought about fishing it out of the trash can and putting it in like a shadow box, hanging it next to the Elantra. The health department probably would not have been psyched about that.
No. I'd be like, can I just get the box? Can I get the box?
Yeah.
But that's the kind of thing that's special. Like, there's not places like that. I think that goes back to that thing you said at the beginning about, you know, we thought we were going to have, like, a certain cuisine that we, like, stood by.
Totally.
Just a restaurant. It's not a restaurant just for, like, one person. It's a restaurant for all people.
Yeah. And COVID really threw us for a loop. So prior to actually opening, our vision was this is going to be a quaint, tiny, cozy, comfortable little restaurant where we're packing people in like sardines by candlelight. You're drinking your wine, you're eating your small plates. But that was not the reality when we opened. We were putting sandwiches in boxes and we're selling thousands of empanadas a week and painkillers. And we really opened and did what we could to get by.
Or you were doing like pies and you were doing, like, I remember at Thanksgiving, you were doing like all the like special order desserts that you can't find anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. So we kind of just did what we could to survive. Yeah. And there was a lot of pushback when in January we reopened as a full service restaurant. People were really confused. But that was always the vision. That was always what we intended to do. But because we opened in this weird time and we had to make do with what we had, I think people were like, what the hell is this place actually? So I think the dinghy's finally finding its footing now as a real restaurant with servers and plates. And it's been really fun.
It's funny because you, like, think about, I mean, like you said, it was, like, born. Like, you know what the original intention was, but nobody else did. If they came for the first time on your opening day, you didn't do it the way you intended to do it.
Totally.
And now it's, like, being born into this thing that is a little different than the original vision, but it's all there. Like, it's all...
It still has the same vibes.
Right.
I mean, we still have great cocktails and a lot of the same food items and the DJ on the roof. And so there are still aspects of the original, you know, dinghy that was last summer. Club dinghy is what we refer to it as.
You're club dinghy.
We're trying to make it, like, less club dinghy, but sometimes you get a wild hair
sometimes
and you're
you
like, yeah, I need a club dinghy moment. Let's rage.
Yeah, I love it. Well, the other thing, too, that I think, and in like all the conversations we've had with businesses and whatever, is I think that what you guys have done, you know, you talked about like the final boss and like all the things that were happening. The successful businesses know how to pivot.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. So like somebody runs into our building, cool man, we'll figure it out.
Let's make a joke about it. Yeah.
Right. What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Somebody runs off with 10K of our money. Figure it out, man. Like, mm-hmm. Like, there's no other option. You got to figure it out.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of restaurants and a lot of people in the pandemic were just like, I'm just, like, not going to change anything that I'm doing.
Yeah. But you have to roll with the punches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, even when it comes to, like, the menu, I was doing the ordering yesterday, and I was thinking to myself, oh, is cauliflower really selling right now? It's kind of a fall, winter dish. Even though it's in season currently, let me look at the numbers. We only sold 24 last week. Sick, I'm taking it off the menu.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You have to constantly be thinking about these things in order to make money.
Right. Right. Which, you know, really is kind of the goal.
Exactly.
I was at the end, you know, for some sort of money there.
Totally.
So that's important.
Well, and so many people get caught up in, like, whatever that original vision was. They're like, mm-hmm. well, I'm just this. You know, you mm-hmm. could have said, well, we're just Latin American. Not Latin American cuisine, and that's it. And we wanted people to come sit inside, so we're going to fit two tables in here during the pandemic, and that's what we can do, and we're mm-hmm. going to try and run like that. And you guys are like, no, forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you some pies and some empanadas.
Exactly.
And you're going to come pick them up, and you're going to love us. And
you're
going to
be happy.
Uh-huh. You're going to be ready to come in.
Yeah. Come get a donut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always. Like,
that, and that's the kind of thing that I think makes, like, the failures, like, separates failures from successes.
Mm-hmm.
Any of those things could have easily been like, fuck it, we're done.
Totally.
Yeah. Like, we're done. And you guys have proven, like, time and time again that that's not the case.
Yeah. Well, and even after Chase passed and I started therapy, my therapist was like, have you ever considered just selling this place? Because it's like 1 week, you know, the dishwasher's flooding or, you know, something's fallen off the wall or whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. there's always something. And that's another one of our mottos. We always look at each other and we're like, man, always something. And it's true. Mm-hmm. And I think that it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never consider selling because there's always issues. That's just how a restaurant
is.
Every restaurant is like that. Yeah. I mean, you don't throw in the towel because you had a bad day. No, you wake up tomorrow and fix that problem and move on with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, like I said, it's just such a good outlook because so many people have, like, in all this come to me and just been like, oh, well, I just decided I'm not going to do this for a while, or we're just going to, like, get rid of this whole thing, or we're not going to work, or we're not going to be open. And, like, but if you have, like, an option, man, if there's an option there, you got to keep going.
Exactly.
And there's usually an option.
Yeah. Well, and especially when it's something special, you know? I feel like you guys did something special. Mm-hmm. It's different. And you said it is a vibe. Like, it's a whole vibe. And
it
it's
is.
A thing that was missing in, you know, the area.
Yeah.
And you know, I know tons of people that go there. Like, you know, book things online now.
Yes.
You know, like, they have, like, reservations for their, like, special day, and that's where they,
totally.
You know, that's where they want to go. Let's go see you guys.
We thought, we weren't sure how it was going to be received. I mean, the original vision that didn't happen when we were first opening. Because, you know, I had come from New York. I had never worked in the food industry in Virginia Beach. I started my career in New York, and Chase had lived in California mm-hmm. and Argentina, and we were really bringing, like, bigger city ideas mm-hmm. to this area. And at first we were like, are people going to get this? I don't think they're ever going to get what we're doing, because mm-hmm. we don't even get it sometimes.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that it's been received so well.
Mm-hmm.
Me too, because I think, you know, I tell people a lot, I'm going to offend somebody, I tell people a lot that Virginia Beach is, like, at least 2 years behind everybody else
mm-hmm.
because we're so transient.
Yeah.
So
oh, absolutely.
People bring things from, like, little small towns that are way behind everybody mm-hmm. else, and then they bring things from New York
mm-hmm.
that are way mm-hmm. ahead of everybody else, and who knows what you're going to get when you come here.
Absolutely.
But I think you guys had, like, such a passion behind it and such a people wanted to see you succeed.
Right. They did.
Yeah.
Like, nobody was, like, rooting for failure. I don't know about that. Like, everybody wanted mm-hmm. to see the success.
I've always felt very supported by the community, especially our neighbors and the vibe.
Yeah.
There really is a great sense of community there, and there's so many fantastic businesses, and every day, like, on my drive to work, I'm just like, wow, I'm really lucky to be here.
You guys mm-hmm. do have, like, the perfect little block right there.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
You guys and Three Ships and North End and Eagle. Yeah. And, like, the whole thing right there is, like, wonderful.
It's so cool.
I, like, whenever we go over there, my kids, like, that, like, when they think of going to Vibe, like, that's the section mm-hmm. they think of going mm-hmm. to.
Yeah.
And so it really is super cool. I like that you guys aren't right on the ocean front.
Same.
Yeah.
It's chaotic down there.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
besides, like, zero parking, it's just there's so many people.
I just said, you're a restaurant at the ocean front that has parking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's rare.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, the whole thing is just great. What's, like, your takeaway? So, like, from starting this in 2018 mm-hmm. to today, if you could tell 2018 self something, what would you tell that person?
Don't fret the timeline. You are not in control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's so much pressure to follow a timeline because once you announce that you're opening something, anytime you see people, it's, when are you opening? Mm-hmm. What's going on? And I think you start to doubt yourself when you're not progressing at the pace that you think you should be. And Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think don't sweat the timeline. Don't think about it. You're at the mercy of other people. Your plumber, your electrician, your contractor. Somebody could drive through the building at any given moment.
Surprise! Right.
Yeah. You know, you can't control these things, so you're doing the best that you can.
When that, I think, is probably the best takeaway anybody can have. Like, literally somebody could drive through the building at any moment.
Yeah.
You just don't know in what fashion or form or whatever. And so rolling with it, like you said, mm-hmm. is the best possible thing.
Yeah, and what is meant to be will be.
Yeah.
You know, we, back in the day when all of these things were happening, we would be like, oh, the dinghy's just not ready.
Yeah.
She's not ready
yet.
It's
not time yet. Yeah.
Not her time. And even when the pandemic hit, I think it put a lot of things into perspective for us because we built that restaurant to mm-hmm. only serve 20 people, 10 at the bar and 10 in the dining room. That not sustainable, as you can see.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it really opened our eyes to, wow, we would not have made any money.
Mm-hmm. Right, like you wouldn't have been where you are today if
exactly.
you did it the way you intended to.
If mm-hmm. we had maybe turned once and had 40 people a night, there's sorry.
<You're fine.
laughs> No way we would have survived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think that's the other part, too. I think oftentimes when we're hit with, like, weird stuff or things we don't expect or mm-hmm. somebody running through a building, that we think, like, well, oh, shit, like, this isn't, it's not supposed to be. And, like, no, it's just not supposed to be that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we were having these, you know, DJ nights and hundreds of people were showing up and we were like, wow, well, this restaurant is entirely too small.
Mm-hmm.
But also, this is the money that we needed to bring in now to pay our staff, mm-hmm. to pay our bills. What were we thinking?
Mm-hmm. Right, like how we wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
Would not have known.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand the pandemic was brutal in so many ways, but it really helped us realize what we needed to operate the dinghy.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, it's literally what you've been doing the whole time is like taking a negative and finding ways to make it positive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think in y'all's situation, you also kind of had the right people at the helm to be like,
okay,
man, whatever.
Yeah, totally.
We're just going to do something else then, and that's going to be, that's right.
And even though we were ready to open, I think it was nice to have those additional mm-hmm. 2 months to spend time with our families before we really jumped into this and hone in on things. It wasn't entirely negative.
No, there's good stuff in there.
Totally.
That's, I think, you know, if I want anybody to take anything away from your story, it's that the good stuff is there, even when it sucks.
Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah.
It's been a rough 3 years, but I don't think, I mean, besides Chase passing, I wouldn't change anything because it's given us this momentum and has really driven me. Even in the darkest and hardest moments, I'm like, this place is special and we need to continue investing all of this energy into it because it is very unique and different from anything else in this area. And I do have moments like I understand that we're popular and people like us, but I'm insecure about the dinghy because I see a place like Esoteric or the Atlantic and they're so beautiful inside and they just look like they're from a magazine or they had an interior decorator and I look at the dinghy and I'm like, wow, that's like, there's a nail sticking out of that. But I think that's part of the charm of the place. So
I think that's what makes it special, too, not to, like, take away from, like, an Esoteric or the Atlantic or anybody else, because they have their own story in some way, shape, or form, but, like, the way you guys, like, really built it.
Yeah.
They're, like, pieces of you guys in what
totally.
You did.
Totally.
And I have a feeling the community sees that, and that's another reason why you're so busy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
People want that.
They do. And I think, you know, just, you're always going to be hypercritical of what you're doing. So I look to these mentors like Esso and the Atlantic, and I think, like, these are the people that inspire me. I want to be on their level. And I'm doing that in my own way.
That's just it. I think everyone's kind of got their own level. And I think you guys have, for only being open for a year.
With the pandemic.
With the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, yeah.
And turning over 800.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meals in a week. I think you're doing pretty well, man.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
So those, like, insecure days, just know you're kind of crushing it. So
thank
it's
you.
Like, yeah.
But it's important that folks know, even the most successful, which I'm not, but successful people can be insecure.
Correct, yeah.
Even in those great moments.
For sure. I think we all sort of get that, like, fraud.
Totally.
Yeah.
Syndrome.
Yeah.
With imposter.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We're like, do I actually know what I'm doing?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I go through that, like, every day.
Yeah.
When there's a crisis, I'm like, why did I do this?
Yeah. Wait, hold on. I don't think I'm supposed to have this ability. Like, why am I saying yes or no to this? Who's in charge here?
Right. Do I actually
What's happening?
Have the ability to do these things that I said that I could do and believed for, like, a hot minute I could do?
Yeah.
But you do, and we do, and it's just, I think if you think, this is sounds whatever, I almost think, like, the insecurity can be a strength.
Totally.
Right. I can't imagine not questioning it. Like, I don't want to not question it. Like,
if for, like, any second I'm like, oh, I'm, like, the best at what I do, man, somebody, like, come slap me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because then I'm never going to be better. I'm never going to pivot because I'm not going to have a reason to.
Or grow.
Clearly,
Yes.
I don't ever want to be at a point where I don't feel like I have to grow.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. I feel like every day I am learning something new. And I'm constantly learning from my staff. Like, they think they learn from me. I learn from them.
Yeah. Well, we're not given anything we can't handle, like, in life. And so, like, even when shit sucks and things are really bad, started it for a reason. And so you gotta, like, hold on to that.
Exactly.
Well, thanks for hanging out with us today.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I'm excited to come take pictures and eat food.
Yes.
There's food involved.
Wine bars.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and the natural wine.
Maybe
come check it out.
Don't come at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Or maybe do.
Wine is always available.
That's true.
Yeah.
From the moment we open.
Yeah.
As it should be.
Even 9 o'clock on a Saturday.
Perfect.
Sounds right. Well, thank you so much. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you.
Bye.